Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello there.
Or maybe I should refer to you as TV's Tim Dennis.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's right. If you haven't heard, Paranormal Night Shift is now on Travel Channel. It began yesterday, Friday, the 21st of August. And you can watch along. There is a new series called Paranormal Night Shift, which follows people's stories that work the graveyard shift, the night shift, and the strange supernatural encounters they've had. Tim will be in more than, I think, half of the episodes as one of the talking head experts, weighing in on these strange supernatural stories and giving his unique perspective and insights. Now, we know for a fact that he's in more than half of the episodes.
At least eight, Dave. I counted them.
Wow. And so there's like 12 episodes. Yeah. Tim's in eight. But the thing is, we don't know which episodes he appears in.
Right.
You know, they're not necessarily going to show them in order that they were released. So just tune in every week and check it out to see Tim Dennis from Darkness Radio in his big TV debut. I'm so proud of you,
my little man. Buddy.
You turn 50 and your TV show happens all at the same time.
Well, now, so I gotta thank you. I gotta thank you because you had a huge role in it too.
What?
Yes. I couldn't have done it without
you.
You
look at my stomach when you said I have a huge role.
Well, no, I didn't look at your stomach. I mean it. I didn't mean it that way. I just can't look you in the eye when I thank you. That's all. I'm a little shy. But no, I gotta thank you because you helped me in this whole process. I don't know anybody in TV. So
sure you do. You know me.
Well, I know you. I know you. But yeah.
You know the Ghost Adventure guys. You know the Ghost Hunter guys. You know the Ghost Nation guys. You know a lot of people in TV.
Well, but that's from way back. I know them. But they didn't help me in this whole deal. You helped me in this whole deal. So, yeah.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I got to
thank you. Glad we're connecting, get you on a show.
Yeah. So Dave helped bring along the apocalypse. So you know this now, people. we have pestilence, we have famine, and we have Tim on TV. So
that's right.
Three of the official seven signs have now been sealed. Yeah. It's all coming to a head and coming to an end now, folks. Just so you know.
And Your first story, a creepy one, Clown Boy's Revenge, where a ghostly, chilling clown is haunting a poor janitor at a high school.
Yeah.
There's Beware I'm Watching is another story that you do. Curtain Call, Lady of the House, Goodbye, Hotel Hauntings, and there are two more episodes still being produced and wrapped up. So, Tim, again, Paranormal Night Shift on the Travel Channel. You want to make sure that you check that out. Tim, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, we've got some other news to share, and let's get to it. We've got news. We've got Parashare emails that have been sent in, and you know what we don't have this week, Tim?
What don't we have?
Callers.
People aren't calling. No.
They're being all shy and, I like listening to you read the stories. Your great voice. You're so sweet. And I'd listen to you read the phone book and blah, blah, blah. That's the kind of crap I get. And then they refuse to call in. But they send me their emails, so I'll take it, I guess.
Well, we need more people to call and tell us their stories, you know?
Right.
Variety is the spice of life. We need people.
You're starting to make me feel like it's more me, more me, more me all the time.
No. I just, we would like to hear people's sweet voices calling in, and I'd like to be able to piece together their stories and put them on the air and, you know, put my little arthritic fingers to work here.
I'm with you. Yeah. Yep. So give us a call. 651-300-4977. But Dave, how can I remember that phone number? I'm driving in my car. I'm taking a shower. I'm pooping. I don't have something to write down with while I'm listening to the show. How do I remember 651-300-4977? It's a good point. Maybe it's easier just to call Tim at his home at 612.
Don't call me at home.
I'm pretty sure if I gave your full number, that would be enough for people to remember.
But see, if people can't remember the phone number to call the number to leave their story, they're not going to remember my number to actually, you know, get a hold of me to get the number. It's also confusing, Dave. It's probably just easier to email you or I to get the number, and we can go from there.
Wow. All right, fine. You can also find our number at darknessradio.com.
Oh,
darknessradio.com. That's the number or the website to check for our phone number, 651-300-4977. You will not find Tim's phone number, 612.
Dave, I'm just
telling them they're not going to find that on the website.
Tim. Right, but you don't have to give it out anyways. I mean, if they can't find it on the website, they certainly shouldn't find it here either. Right.
Well, here we've got our first story is a mixture. I'm going to tell a little bit of the story, and then we've got an audio daily double to share. Rumors are circulating on the internet, Tim. I know that's hard to believe.
Really?
The internet breeds rumors.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Rumors about the escape of the infamous doll Annabelle from the Warren Occult Museum have finally been put to rest by paranormal expert Tony Spera. Tony Spera, self-proclaimed demonologist and the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren. The Warrens are known, of course, for their research and investigation of paranormal events and hauntings, and their work has even inspired popular films such as The Amityville Horror, The Conjuring. The Warren Occult Museum, now curated by Spera, is the permanent home of many objects believed to be paranormal or cursed objects. The real Annabelle, which is a Raggedy Ann doll thought to be manipulated by a demon, was originally owned by some roommates who experienced horrific hauntings and physical cuts after they acquired the doll. The Warrens were brought in to investigate the happenings and eventually had an exorcism performed. Their investigation concluded with the Warrens taking the doll into their possession for safekeeping to prevent any more hauntings. The doll now resides in the Warren Occult Museum, locked in a case, because we know demons cannot get through plexiglass and balsa wood, Tim.
That's right.
Demons hate it. Oh, God. So if you ever feel like you're about to be attacked, just put up some plexiglass. Boom, the demon will hit it, and it's like, let me through. I've never understood that concept. I guess maybe, again, it's not just that. They've got prayers around it and salt and Himalayan pink salt. I don't know. They've got different things around the box itself to keep the doll in its place.
So I got a great idea. It just hit me. I think we should approach the Minnesota Wild to have Demon Doll Night. So here's the concept. It's maybe we do it when they play the New Jersey Devils. Follow me on this. So at one point, when the Minnesota Wild score, maybe when the Devils score, what you do is you take your possessed doll and you throw it on the ice, never to be seen again, because, of course, the Minnesota Wild would take care of it. You just keep the doll on the ice behind the plexiglass and the boards, and, of course, all demonic activity would cease to exist because it's kept there on the ice.
I see one flaw in the ointment.
What's that?
If you want your team to win, you mm-hmm. shouldn't throw it on the ice at your home stadium. Maybe what the team should do is sell these haunted dolls that they could take to other stadiums where the Wild are playing. You throw it on the ice, then it releases the demon. And as you said, the plexiglass and wood keeps the demon on the ice, picking on the home team.
Okay, you've corrected my flaw in logic. There you go.
Uh-huh. The only problem is our team's also out on the ice, so they might be up for attack as well. Unless, of course, they're wearing plexiglass underwear.
Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Plexiglass Breezers, which is the name of my new album.
Plexiglass Breezers. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, the real Annabelle, again, a Raggedy Ann doll, thought to be manipulated by a demon, is in the Warrens Museum. The investigation, again, concluded with the Warrens taking the doll into their possession. It resides in this locked case. Recently, though, rumors began circulating after the Wikipedia page for the real Annabelle doll was updated to say she had escaped from the museum at 3 a.m. on August 14th, 2020. Now, after hearing the rumors, Tony Spira went to the basement to investigate. Here's that audio right now.
Tony Spira here. If I look a little hot, it's because I just cut the lawn outside of the Warren property, and I sweat probably about a gallon of water. I feel better now, though. I was getting a little lightheaded, but I had to do it. And I tell you, I'm in here in the museum because of the rumors that Annabelle has escaped. Now, I'm here to tell you something. I got to tell you something. I don't know if you're going to want to hear this or not, but Annabelle did not escape. Annabelle's alive. Well, I shouldn't say alive. Annabelle's here in her, all her infamous glory. She never left the museum. Remember, I have high-tech security here. If she had left the museum, I'd instantly know if something happened or if somebody broke in. I have good alarm systems here. And the police are very good to respond. They respond within a couple minutes, maybe, if that. But Annabelle's here, and she didn't go anywhere. She didn't take a trip. She didn't fly first class. And she didn't go out to visit her boyfriend. So, you know, here she is. So let's put the rumors to rest, guys. I was going to go Facebook Live or YouTube Live, but for some reason I couldn't get a signal out here. It wasn't as strong as it normally is. But for now, I'm going to sign off, and I appreciate all the concern. I'd be concerned if Annabelle really did leave, because she's nothing to play with. Okay, guys, till next time. Bye-bye.
So the thought of an allegedly possessed and evil inanimate doll fleeing from a locked cage would naturally send people into a frenzy. The speculation behind the doll, as well as the Warrens' publicized research, makes the idea of not knowing her whereabouts terrifying. The films inspired by Annabelle have no doubt assisted in creating an extra bone-chilling aura to the already paranormal events surrounding the doll. Knowing these films starring Annabelle are inspired by real-life hauntings elevates the fear factor. The franchise has continued to grow. The Conjuring franchise currently has 7 films. The 8th film edition, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, is still set for a release in 2020, but we don't know how that how what's going on is going to be affected. You know, the release of the movie. But we have a follow-up story to that. Zach Bagans, Tim, from a little TV show called The Ghost Adventures. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's on the Travel channel.
No, never heard of it.
Yeah. He's making headlines again, as is Tony Spira. Ghost Adventures' Zach Bagans slams Tony Spira for bashing his show over Annabelle's investigation. So the legendary demonic doll Annabelle, again, as we just mentioned, has been making headlines. Not only has Zach Bagans of Ghost Adventures recently called out her current owner, Tony Spira, about the rumors. At first, rumors and jokes flew wildly. She escaped, but later confirmed as a hoax that Annabelle escaped from the Warren's Occult Museum on the East Coast. Twitter exploded with jokes about Annabelle making her big escape. No need to worry just yet. 2020 has not yet released Annabelle to haunt the world. Who knows? Maybe in September, Tim. Maybe October. Annabelle will be the next coming of evil.
Maybe.
The museum is not even open, and Annabelle, along with other paranormal artifacts, are housed with the Warren's son-in-law, Tony. Annabelle's alleged escape is not the only time Tony has been in the news in recent weeks. He was also openly criticized for He also openly criticized one of the most respected paranormal teams in the nation, and Zach Bagans called him out about his open disrespect towards the crew. Zach called out Tony for disrespecting his show. It should be first noted that Zach does not engage often in social media disputes. He began a Facebook post that addressed the issue and the hate Tony Spira has inflicted towards the Ghost Adventures crew. He said, "Tony Spira, Annabelle's owner, I'm fed up with the nasty things this man is saying about myself and my entire crew and our show." Zach continued on explaining why he believes Tony to be wrong in his accusations. He continued, "If his claims of Annabelle being purely evil and demonic and had the power to cause a guy's fatal motorcycle accident just for talking to her from outside her protected case, then why would he even take her out of her protective sealed case that Ed and Lorraine Warren put a sign on that reads, 'Warning, positively do not open,' then cram her into a small plastic briefcase and use oven mitts to carry her around the museum, putting her in a high chair and let us investigate her? Oh, wait, for a large amount of money. He was quick to collect after he stormed off set. However, Ed and Lorraine would..." God, this is so poorly written. "I wonder how Ed and Lorraine would feel how you took Annabelle out of a case that they said never to for a big fat check. Stop being a hypocrite, Tony." Yikes.
Yikes.
Calling him out. Zach continues on saying Tony questions and slams their knowledge of the paranormal. He went on to say how Tony is absurd to think Annabelle can be contained and behave with the use of just oven mitts. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
As silly as the plexiglass and balsa wood case, the idea that oven mitts not touching her would keep him safe. I don't know. Maybe they're lead lined inside the oven mitts. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. "When Zach and the crew investigated Annabelle at the museum, Tony knew Zach showed signs of being affected by the doll. He acknowledged it, but ultimately didn't seem to care. In fact, Zach accidentally touched Annabelle's foot, which he does not remember. He said, 'Remember, he told me Annabelle was affecting me, so why wouldn't he understand that and offer me concern or help in that situation?' Zach continued, 'And as the keeper of that doll, he shouldn't have attacked me, but been more sympathetic to the situation and offered to help cleanse me with holy water. Now, remember, Tony told me I was being affected by the Forerunner, Annabelle's power, before the investigation even started. But he did nothing. Didn't use his holy water to help. Nothing. Is all this hate, negative posts, fueled by me subconsciously touching his doll's foot? Did I damage the doll? No. Does Tony care about my well-being? Hell no." Ooh, it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
Zach says Tony did it all for the money. It was clear in Zach's message to Tony, he believes Tony simply wanted a big fat check. In fact, he showed little concern about being around Annabelle. He even took off his rosary and reportedly left it in Zach's haunted museum in Las Vegas. Tony was quick to collect his thousands and leave. And Tony demanded he and Annabelle fly first class, Zach said. Tony also demanded first class air tickets only for he and Annabelle. I'm sure Annabelle would have been extra demonic if she had to fly coach. He demanded a first class air ticket for a demon, LMAO, Zach goes on to post. Zach concluded the post by saying, "And you want to disrespect my entire Ghost Adventures crew by saying Ed had more knowledge on his pinky than my whole crew does. You were a hater of me and my crew before you even arrived that day at my museum. Everyone stated how bad your condescending attitude was the moment you arrived. And it's not all about the money for us." So says the man who owns the money-making Hollywood doll who demanded first-class airfare and thousands of dollars. "This is our life," Zach concludes. The Ghost Adventures crew continues to investigate the unknown and document evidence of the paranormal. The crew gained much respect from around the world. They're one of the most watched investigative teams on television. The demonic Annabelle was the inspiration behind the 2014 movie Annabelle, starring Annabelle Wallace. And the success of the movie later spawned a prequel in 2017, Annabelle Creation, and a sequel in 2019 titled Annabelle Comes Home, which I did like. That was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a fun one. So there's some dissension going on in the paranormal field. What a surprise. What a surprise. This next story, not really paranormal in nature, but I guess since we're talking entertainment news, I was just a little thrown by this, Tim.
Okay.
Guillermo, how do you say his name?
Guillermo del Toro?
Yes. His next big movie is kind of a surprise to me.
What's
Netflix officially announced the cast of Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Listing Academy Award winners Cate Blanchett, Tilda Swinton, and Christopher Waltz, among many other popular actors, in the stop-motion animated musical set to release in 2021. The project is different from the upcoming Disney remake of the animated classic, a live-action movie directed by Robert Zemeckis, potentially starring Tom Hanks. Del Toro is a veteran animated filmmaker, having directed DreamWorks features Puss in Boots and Kung Fu Panda 3. I didn't realize he did those.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are just not movies I think of when I think of Del Toro.
They tend to focus on his creepier side or his more sci-fi side. But yeah, he has a gentler side. That's for
sure. I guess so. Yeah. So now he's confirmed he's working with Ewan McGregor, that'll take on the cricket role. David Bradley, Game of Thrones, will play Geppetto. Gregory Mann, a complete newcomer, is playing Pinocchio. Although not yet confirmed by Netflix, Tilda Swinton will likely lend her skills to the fairy with turquoise hair. Christopher Waltz will play the fox and the cat, and Ron Perlman will be Manajafuko. I think that's the right way to say it. The other announced actors have not been linked with any particular characters so far. Cate Blanchett, Finn Wolfhard, Tim Blake Nelson, Enola Holmes, Bern Gorman, and John Turturro have all signed on to the picture. So it's interesting. I just was kind of surprised to hear that was a Del Toro movie coming.
Yeah, he is definitely a storyteller. He tends to be more of a darker storyteller, but he does have his lighter side at times. He tends to delve into, he'll do a couple of darker pictures and then he'll come back and he'll do a lighter picture just to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, a mum-to-be was left seriously creeped out when she spotted a shadowy figure in the background of her video. Taking to Reddit, her sister shared the unnerving Snapchat footage, which her pregnant sis filmed while house-sitting for a week. In the video, the woman films her moving bump, her belly with the baby inside, while lying on the bed with only a cat and a dog in the house for company. As the clip caption, "My heart is actually breaking," comes to an end, what appears to be a small figure emerges at the end of the bed. The woman explained that her sister was in the house alone, and both the dog and the cat are white, so couldn't be responsible for the eerie shape. She added, "Both the cat and the dog are white, so it would have been clear it was them." She didn't even see the shadow thing until she watched the Snapchat video back. Fellow Redditors were left seriously creeped out by the video, with many agreeing that the figure resembled a small child. Commenting on the post, one wrote, "I did notice it at first, but now that I have, I wish I hadn't. That's creepy as hell." Agreeing, a second added, "I'm pregnant and laying in bed in the dark. This gave me hardcore chills." The woman said that while the sister hasn't experienced any other paranormal activity in the house, she said the house felt very heavy and like someone or something was watching her. In another paranormal news, this mom was left creeped out after people spotted a ghost child in the background of her wedding dress picture. And this woman claims that her husband brought a ghost into their home who constantly bangs doors. Plus, another family claimed that their frozen Elsa doll is haunted, and it keeps coming back to the house. Oh, Elsa, just let it go.
Oh, see, I knew you were going there.
I entertain me. That's the most important thing to think of. We do have another audio Daily Double.
Mm-hmm.
This story is really kind of heartbreaking and compelling and something to witness. I don't know. Let's just go ahead and play the audio and let the newscasters over at Fox 14, CBS 4 tell the story.
The mother of a toddler who died years ago claims her daughter's spirit is caught on camera. Fabiola Rodriguez was 2 years old when she died in September 2018. Since then, Mother Sandra Gonzalez has had problems with people stealing toys and personal belongings from her grave at the Masonic Cemetery in Las Cruces. Another family's camera later captured this video and showed it to Fabiola's mother, who says she's sure it's her daughter.
She had introduced herself and she told us that she had like something like really beautiful to show us that they had captured on their video camera. So then she like pulled out her phone and she showed it to me and she told us as soon as like she showed me the picture, like I started like crying.
A final image shows what appears to be a man with the little girl. The mother believes it's Fabiola guiding another family's brother up to heaven.
It's pretty remarkable footage. and interesting to see. I mean, it's also interesting to say, you know, maybe it's faked. I mean, that's a real easy way to go. But there is this image of a man in the video. The full story, when Fabiola Rodriguez was 2 years old, she died suddenly, unfortunately, while being watched by her mother's boyfriend. Her mother, Sandra Gonzalez, has had problems with people stealing things from her daughter's grave at the Masonic Cemetery in Las Cruces. Toys and personal belongings have just gone missing, so Sandra asked the cemetery to be on the lookout, while another family has a camera on a nearby headstone in Masonic Cemetery. According to Sandra, their son's killer was still free and was allegedly vandalizing the gravesite. Now, the family reviewed their footage, looking for evidence they could take to the police, and what they saw concerned them. The family took images of a little girl in the cemetery in the middle of the night. Concerned that a little girl was lost in the cemetery, right away a worker said, "We know that little girl," and walked the family to her grave. The next day, the family returned to the cemetery, and Sandra and her grandmother happened to be at Fabiola's grave. Sandra said she burst into tears when they showed her the photo because, "I know that's my daughter." She told us that she had something really beautiful to show us, and they had captured it on their video camera, Sandra said. So then she pulled out her phone and started showing it to me, and as soon as she showed me the picture, I began crying. A final image captured by the camera in the Masonic Cemetery appears to show a little girl walking away with a tall man. "I think she was there to take him to heaven," Sandra said. "They both have such a tragic story of things that have happened to them, and I mean, both of them still haven't gotten justice. So I think she was definitely there to comfort him and take him to heaven." How sad and heartbreaking and kind of warming is this story all at the same time?
Very much so. Like you said, heartbreaking, but at the same time,
It's interesting stuff, to say the least. Let's see. We've got NBC News has captured a UFO on camera during a story about Navajo Indians. The Southwest is a hotbed for UFO activity. It's where Roswell is, and as the site of the infamous Area 51, where the government is rumored to house extraterrestrial crafts. There have been plenty of sightings in Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada, and this week one was caught on camera, but not just any camera. It's a camera belonging to NBC Nightly News. Reporter Cynthia McFadden was taking a close look at the water crisis that Arizona's Navajo Nation is currently facing during the pandemic. And as the cameras rolled on Native Americans playing instruments and singing, an unidentified disc-shaped object can be seen high above them, bursting through the clouds and flying across the sky. Now, I'm going to watch this while I'm talking about it.
Okay.
Because I want to just see the video for myself to kind of discern what they might be looking at. Showing some Native Americans beating on drums. And sure enough, you see this thing just booking through the sky. That is weird. I mean, I'm looking at the slow motion. No, it's moving fast. I mean, I guess it could be an airplane at low altitude. But I don't know. This thing's whipping through the sky. And really ripping through the sky. That's pretty intriguing. Very strange. Well, it could be a plane. The way it rips through the cloud makes it seem like it might be something else. You can actually see the news story, and it's at about the 2-minute and 46-second mark. And if you doubt that it could be some kind of otherworldly craft, remember that last month the government essentially announced that UFOs do exist, and there is even a Navy task force designated to investigate them. In fact, after a former member of the task force revealed to Congress that they found off-world vehicles not made of this earth, the Senate has asked for more information, which means those classified reports very well might become public here soon. How about that? With that, as a follow-up, on August 4th, 2020, Deputy Secretary of Defense David Norquist approved the establishment of an Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force. The Department of the Navy, under the cognizance of the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, will lead UAPTF. The Department of Defense established the UAPTF to improve its understanding of and gain insight into the nature and origins of UAPs, which is the fancy new version of UFOs, Tim.
Well, yeah.
No, it's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. The mission of the task force is to detect, analyze, and catalog UAPs that could potentially pose a threat to U.S. national security. As DOD has stated previously, the safety of our personnel and the security of our operations are of paramount concern. The Department of Defense and the military departments take any incursions by unauthorized aircraft into our training ranges or designated airspace very seriously and examine each report. This includes examinations of incursions that are initially reported as UAP when the observer cannot immediately identify what he or she is observing. But it's official, Tim. They have got a full task force. They wouldn't put that money and time into that unless there was something unusual going on. I mean, what do you make of that? I know you've been the bigger skeptic, but that the government is now setting together an actual task force for this? What does that make you feel? Do you think that they're looking for proof of alien life or concern that China, Russia, Japan, Rhode Island, somebody has some kind of flying craft that might be impeding on our airspace?
I take it more of the latter than the former. I think the reason that they put that kind of task force together is because there's something they can explain that's out there that's flying into their airspace, so they need to investigate it. So, yes, there is a task force that's out there that's looking literally at those three letters. I think people read a little more into it than what there is. So they want to see what exactly is flying into their airspace, and it is a national threat. I don't think they're looking for aliens per se, but they're looking to see what exactly it is that's flying into the airspace, because it is a national security threat. But what it is they're looking for, I don't think is what we think it is that they're looking for. I think we're all expecting disclosure within the next year, year and a half, 2 years, and that we're going to get all these files and we're going to get pictures and video and the government to say, yes, you're right. We've been dealing with aliens and aliens that are on our doorstep. And I don't think that's what we're going to get. In fact, if anything, I think we're going to get, you know what, we do have other countries that have advanced technology and they've been flying into our borders and spying on us, and this is what they have, and they're technologically superior to what we have. So that's what I think that this task force is that they have going.
It'll be interesting to see. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more to share, more stories and some of your stories when we return to Darkness Radio.
A crime is like a puzzle, and each connection helps reveal the big picture, and it's a thrill when you finally put it all together. And when I'm not thinking about true crime or even True Crime Tuesday, you know, when we put that show together, my brain still craves a challenge. And that's why I love Best Fiends. And if you aren't playing Best Fiends, you're missing out big time. It's the fun and exciting puzzle adventure you can experience anytime, anywhere, and you don't even need an internet connection to play. No Wi-Fi and no worries. You know, I like to play Best Fiends best when I'm connected to Facebook because I've got a whole bunch of friends that I'm connected to via Facebook. In fact, I've got, I think it's 139 friends now that I'm connected to via Facebook. And I like to play either connected to my Wi-Fi or to my cell data so I can stay connected to those friends, because I like to also give them gifts. You can do that when you log into the game. And so I give them gifts. They give me gifts. Helps us kind of keep connected by either giving each other diamonds or gold or keys or whatever we can to keep each other going throughout the game, which is nice. And I also like I've gotten partial to a few of my characters as well, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about a couple of my characters that I'm partial to, if I may gloat for a minute, if you don't mind. Some people gloat about other things in their life. I'll gloat about my characters for a second. I got Pop, who I think I've told you about before. He's kind of a little blowfish character that I've gotten a little partial to, and Pop's got some special vertical bombs that he likes to blast away the slugs with. Pop's kind of number one in my arsenal. I've also got Gordon, who is a little cranky, you know, like I am sometimes when I wake up in the morning. He's got horizontal bombs that I like to use. He blows things up left and right with those horizontal bombs. And then, of course, I've got Dennis, who looks like a cute little grasshopper, and he's got his horizontal bombs, and he saves the day with those. So those are three of my favorites that I like to unleash on the slugs when I'm playing Best Fiends. Those are my guys. I do have some gals I use as well. Don't think I discriminate. I don't when I'm playing Best Fiends. But those are three of the ones that I like to use. I also like to get my friends and family involved. Of course, like I said, I've got my friends on Facebook that I team up with and compete with on Facebook. We send each other messages when we leapfrog each other throughout the different levels and let each other know that we're getting ahead of them or getting behind. And we share gifts, like I said. We're kind of a tight-knit little family. And you would think that there would, with over 100 million downloads, not be so much tight-knit family there, but there are. There are nice little clusters and nice little groups. So look out for me. Get logged in. Get the download of Best Fiends. It's real simple. You go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and look for me. Look for me by logging in with your Facebook, and you can find me real easy. It's me. You can see me with my little microphone, my little headphones, and get involved in our group. And we'll share gifts and we'll do all that. We'll, you know, you can share gifts along the way with me and in our group and get involved. And it gets you built up along the way. We can hang out. We can hang out by playing Best Fiends. It's real simple. The nice thing about Best Fiends, too, is it's always unique. It's always exciting. It never gets tedious. It's a great puzzle game, unlike others out there. Other puzzle games you get involved with, you played it for a while and you're done after maybe a few days. It's tedious. It gets old. Not Best Fiends. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels, new events. It's never old. It just keeps updating, keeps getting different patterns, different boards, different challenges, and you've got new stuff all the time. You've got slugs coming at you different ways. You've got new puzzles to solve. There's always something new with Best Fiends. Also, what's nice is if you find yourself playing in random or weird places, or you play at random times, maybe you're playing on break at work, maybe your partner's watching TV, you're waiting for coffee to brew, you need to, you know, do something real quick. Not a big deal. You're waiting in the parking lot for a few minutes for some reason. Someone's running into the store real quick. You want to play a quick game? It's real easy. You want to play a quick level? Not a big deal. You just jump on your mobile device, play a quick level. Not a big deal. You don't need Wi-Fi. You don't need internet. You don't need cell data. You just get on, play a quick level of Best Fiends, hop right off. Not a big deal. You can collect tons of cute characters on Best Fiends. I think there's like 154, 159, something like that, and all that you can collect. I've got tons of them right now. Like I said, I've got those three favorites, so that I keep leveling up. And little tidbit here for you, always level up to level 10. Always go to level 10 and then level from there. You might want to go to level 15 right away, but I always go to level 10 and then level them up from there. Make sure they're nice and powerful when you get them to get you through the different challenges. And there's always new monthly theme challenges, new monthly themes every single month. And you'll see them when they come up. Always take advantage of the new monthly theme challenges. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every single month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips. And again, you can even play offline. No reason to use your cell data. No reason to jump on the Wi-Fi. You can go offline with it. Over 100 million downloads and tons of five-star reviews. Best Fiends is a must-play. I'm on it right now. I'm playing. I'm having a great time. Download it right now. Best Fiends for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Hi, I'm Erin Brockovich, and I am thrilled to be launching my new podcast, Superman's Not Coming. I think we are all beginning to realize that we are on our own. But not to worry, we have each other. That's right, you, me, and millions of others are here, and we do have the strength, the heart, and the courage to find our voice and use it. For over 20 years, I've been working with people across the nation and around the world to overcome incredible odds. I hope you'll listen to these tales of men and women just like you who did just that. They rose up, they spoke up, and they didn't wait for a superhero, they became that hero. Each of us has a fighting spirit, and when joined together, is greater than any superpower. So what are you waiting for? Be inspired and be empowered, because Superman isn't coming. but you're already here.
Once a week, every week, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podcast One.
We are back. We've got more stories to share from around the world. This one takes us far away, Tim. Far away. And I'm going to send you this link while we're talking about it so that you can look at this. It's something, I don't know, seems very Muppety about this, but it's also very strange.
Okay.
Oh, it won't allow me to send you the link. It says it's against their standards.
What?
I don't know. That's weird. It's not allowing me to send it. Look, I'll read the article.
Okay.
Now, fair warning, it is one of those that have come through a translation site, so it might be a little disjointed.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that this is an elf, but this is a bit freaky, says musician Vigdis Hauser Harbrater in a conversation with Frbladadid. That's the name of the newspaper.
Okay.
Frbladadid. Vigdis posted a very interesting video on her Instagram page today, which shows a kind of strange creature by Dettafoss. Vigdis has been traveling around the country for the past few days, and it was not until she watched the video on her phone in Saarbrücken last night that she caught sight of the strange creature in question. Vigdis claims that the video was not intended in any way, or I think they're saying not manipulated in any way. The area is pretty impossible to get to. Vigdis asked her followers to give their opinion on what is seen in the video. She says that she and her boyfriend were in the area for a long time and no one was in front of them. The conditions in the area are such that it's pretty impossible for people to even get to that part at all. There's nothing down there, says Vigdis, and she's talking about the area where this thing shows up. She heard various things, that it was a black elf or even some kind of devil. She says that about 10 people were in that area, most of them on a viewing platform nearby, but she and her boyfriend went closer to the waterfall where he took the pictures. Among other things, I zoomed in and like there was nothing to worry about and caught this image. Vigdis says, however, that she did not intend to claim that there is anything supernatural going on, but that the video is interesting, and that is why she decided to publish it. She says, however, that she has come across videos on TikTok where people claim that they have seen elves and obtained pictures of them. So far, she has taken such videos with reasonable notice, but the pictures and videos resemble the strange creature that Vigdis took pictures of. The video can be seen below on this. I wonder if I could send this to you. Let me see if there's a way to send the actual Instagram link to you, Tim.
Okay.
Let me see if I can do this. Hang on a second. That one, maybe because it was going through a translation site, it wouldn't let me send it to you, so I'll just send you the direct video link.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Have you got it?
Yeah.
So take a look at that and tell me if it doesn't look kind of Muppety to you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, so what you're seeing, folks, is a waterfall, and you see these rocks, and all of a sudden there's...
Yeah. Yeah, like a little Muppet.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And the way it moves looks very Muppety, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It almost looks superimposed.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. So that's what's going on there, Tim.
Huh.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Another reason to stay inside, Tim. Just another reason. Gargoyles, tarantulas, bloodied children. Research has begun into the mystery syndrome where people see visions of horror. Estimated 1 million visually impaired people in the UK are thought to experience bizarre, ultra-lifelike hallucinations, including spiders crawling from books and Victorian families appearing in crowds. The first time Dr. Amit Patel saw the girl in his home, he was so astonished he fell down the stairs. She was so vivid, he remembers today. I could see the detail on her dress. There was blood smeared on her face. month earlier, in November of 2012, the former A&E medic had gone suddenly blind after catastrophic hemorrhaging in both eyes. As he attempted to negotiate a world without sight, the girl, or rather a crystal-clear vision of one, white dress, black hair, bloodied and bruised, appeared without warning. And she's been doing so ever since. I can be walking, working, and going down the street with the kids, and she'll suddenly be there, the 40-year-old father of two says. She once watched me change my daughter's butt. Now, this is Charles Bonnet, Charles Bonnet syndrome,
mm-hmm.
B-O-N-N-E-T. This is Charles Bonnet syndrome, and an estimated 1 million partially sighted and blind people in the UK are believed to live with it. They see often on a near, they see often on a nearly daily basis intensely real, hyper-detailed visions. Sometimes these are benign, flowers sprouting, musical notes hanging in the air, or rainbows forming. But for many, for reasons which nobody understands, the scenes come tinged with horror. Tarantulas crawling out of books, gargoyles appear amid friends, zombies turn up in their homes, and in an online post, one UK sufferer describes seeing a person crumble to dust in front of them. Oh, that happened right after the snap, Tim.
Right after the snap.
Yeah, right after, Thanos.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Over half of the universe vanished him.
Okay.
So that's all he was witnessing. Dr. Patel likens his visitor to the girl in the ring. I used to love that film, he says today. Now he's less enamored. Something I hear a lot is it's like being inside a horror movie, says Judith Potts, founder of Esme's Umbrella, the UK's only charity dedicated to the condition. People know it's not real, but they can't switch it off. There is no cure. They cannot escape. I got to get somebody on the show to talk about this. This is amazing. It is something researchers now hope to begin putting right. A major study being carried out by neuroscientists at the University of Oxford will this summer begin investigating what might cause CBS. In doing so, they hope to, firstly, destigmatize an illness which many are believed to suffer with silently for fear that their sanity may be questioned, and secondly, lay the groundwork for finding an eventual treatment. Crucially, while it has long been established that the syndrome is to do with the eye's interaction with the brain, as opposed to being a form of psychosis or dementia, the research will aim to establish what exactly is happening with the process. It is so important, says Mrs. Potts, this affects every part of the people's lives. If you wake up in the morning and see a tiger in your doorway, that's so real you can see saliva on its teeth. That's just one example of someone I spoke to recently. If you see that, it is so terrifying that even though you know it's not real, the anxiety puts huge stress on your life. Some people won't go out as much because they don't want to have these visions in public, or they become depressed. They have accidents. You can imagine it's rather distracting suddenly being confronted by a Victorian family as you walk down the street. She herself founded Esme's Umbrella in 2015 because her mother, the Esme in question, had suffered with the condition but found nowhere to turn. A wonderful, lucid woman who did the cryptic crossword every day but also happened to see gargoyles jumping around her kitchen, noted Mrs. Potts. Charles Bonnet syndrome itself was first identified in 1760 by the Swiss naturalist and philosopher whose grandfather, a sane and cogent man, I'll try that word again here, Tim, a sane and cogent man confided in his grandson that he had started seeing birds he knew could not possibly be there. Yet perhaps because the condition appears to cause no apparent physical or mental deterioration, research has been sparse and wider knowledge of it remains hugely limited. Despite estimates that half of all visually impaired people in the UK suffer, a figure put forward by the King's College London neuroscientist Dr. Dominic Feifch most have never heard of it until they are diagnosed with it. It was only 4 years ago, indeed, that the Royal College of Ophthalmologists started advising its doctors they should ask parents as a matter of routine if they experienced hallucinations in a bid to better understand the syndrome. The fact that visions are so often characterized by something vaguely dreadful is, one expert told The Independent, beyond the current limit of scientific understanding. Stress, isolation, and anxiety may spark the visions, some believe, but even this is open to interpretation because the visions probably increased stress and anxiety levels. The first time it happened, I thought I was losing my mind, said Arthur Aniston, age 71, a retired sales director, as he describes an unknown person suddenly appearing as he traveled in a car with his wife. They started very modern looking, then their appearance went back in time, Victorian, Roman, till I heard a prehistoric man looking at me, he adds. What if he's seeing former versions of himself, Tim?
You know, that's a pretty good theory. He may be seeing different parts of himself from different times in history.
Could be.
Yeah.
So scared was he that his son-in-law immediately took him to a hospital. No one ever told me when I started losing my eyesight this might happen, the grandfather of two from Manchester said. I'd never heard of CBS. All I knew was I was seeing something that no one else was. It was disturbing. It was a word commonly used by many of those diagnosed with this condition. For Nina Chestworth, the first time she saw visions was just days after suffering the trauma of losing her sight during a home accident in 2018. Kaleidoscopic rainbows and colored patterns suddenly appeared as she lay in the hospital, eventually progressing over the next few months into unicorns. I'm a graphic designer by training, the 38-year-old mother of one says, so I was a bit, this is interesting. I would observe all of these colors and patterns. I found them comforting in a way. I still do. At one point, she saw a danger mouse. I love danger mouse, she says. That was lovely. Then, however, came the zombies and the snarling dogs. I was sat on the sofa at the home for the first time, the mother of one from Manchester recalls. I was too scared to move for hours. It's not like you can shut your eyes and stop seeing it. It stays right there in front of you. I'm wondering if this is an example of what happened to me in my haunted hospital situation, Tim.
I don't know.
Right? Because Remember, I would close my eyes. I could still see the room in every detail. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't see any of you in the room with my eyes closed. I could just see the dead.
Right.
That is weird. Now, she has got used to the strange mix of visitors. She is less concerned. Sometimes I sit studying them, but they have caused her accidents, led her to plans being canceled, and can make the world feel just a bit overwhelming. As a blind person, you can rely on all your other senses, but when the visions start, they can take over, she says. They're incapacitating, even when it's not bad stuff you're seeing. It is for the exact reason that Esme's Umbrella and the Fight for Sight charity are now funding new research. That's crazy. With about 4 million people in the UK set to have some form of visual impairment by 2050, a number which would result in a possible 2 million people with CBS, experts say it's more crucial than ever to get a grip on the syndrome. So much needs to be done to understand this, says Shireen Krause, chief executive for Fight for Sight. Without a better understanding of the causes, we will be one step closer to developing a treatment and a cure. The study will see some 20 people, 10 with CBS and 10 without, have certain chemicals in their brains measured and monitored over a period of time. By looking at that, we can see if there may be an imbalance in chemistry in the visual system that may be a cause of these really weird visions, says Holly Bridge, a professor of neuroscience leading the study. If we can establish that, then it can become possible lead to a treatment because you could look to develop ways of charting those chemical balances. It is very long term. It may well be that you could develop an appropriate drug to keep those chemical levels in proportion. Early results will come within 12 months and a full published paper within 18, but a treatment, of course, might not arrive for years. All the same, back with Amit in London, flanked by trusty guide dog Kika, he longs for the day when the girl from the ring is no longer a regular visitor. He would not, it is safe to say, miss her. I was thinking the other day, he says, she's been in my life longer than my children. It would be nice now to be rid of her. How terrifying is that, Tim?
Boy, I'll say it'd be nice to be rid of her.
That's just creepy.
Yeah, that would just be unnerving. Yeah.
All right. Well, there has been a solved mystery, Tim. And we're going to break it right here. Well, I mean, it's been broken in other places, obviously, because I'm reading the news story. But we're going to break it to our audience. We're going to Buxton, North Carolina. The English colonists who settled the so-called lost colony before disappearing from history simply went to live with their native friends, the Croatones of Hatteras, according to a new book. They were never lost, said Scott Dawson, who has revealed records and dug up artifacts where the colonists lived with the Indians in the 16th century. It was made up. The mystery is over. And this is about the lost colony of Roanoke, Tim.
Hmm.
Dawson has written a book published in June that details his research. It's called The Lost Colony in Hatteras Island and echoes many of the sentiments he has voiced for years. A team of archaeologists, historians, botanists, geologists, and others have conducted digs on small plots in Buxton and Frisco for 11 years. Dawson and his wife Maggie formed the Croatone Archaeological Society when the digs began. Mark Horton, a professor and archaeologist from England's University of Bristol, leads the project. Henry Wright, the professor of anthropology at the University of Michigan, is an expert on the history. Teams have found thousands of artifacts 4 to 6 feet below the surface that show a mix of English and Indian life. Parts of swords and guns are in the same layer of soil as Indian pottery and arrowheads. The excavated earth looks like a layer cake as the centuries pass. In a spot the size of 2 parking spaces, we could find 10,000 pieces, he said. Pieces found during the project are on display at the Hatteras Library. The rest are in storage. Dawson's book draws from research into original writings. John White, Thomas Harriot, and others. Most of their writings were compiled at the time by English historian Richard Hakluyt. Now, records from Jamestown also help Dawson understand more about the tribe's political structure. The evidence shows that the colony left Roanoke Island with the friendly Croatones, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'm going to stick with it, to settle on the Hatteras Island. They thrived, ate well, and mixed families, and endured for generations. More than a century later, explorer John Lawson found natives with blue eyes who recounted they had ancestors who could speak out of a book, Lawson wrote. The two cultures adapted English earrings into fishhooks and gun barrels into sharp-ended tubes to tap tar from trees. The Lost Colony stemmed from a 1587 expedition. Just weeks after arriving, White had to leave the group of settlers, including his daughter, Eleanor Dare, and newborn granddaughter, Virginia, to get more supplies from England. White was not able to return for 3 years. When he arrived at Roanoke Island in 1590, he found Croatone carved on a post and crow on a tree, but he found no distress marks. They literally made a sign. It was expected the colonists would go with their friends, the Croatones, and tribe member Manteo. Dawson said Manteo had traveled to England in earlier expeditions and was baptized a Christian on Roanoke Island. So the mystery is solved, according to this, Tim. They just went off to go live a happier life with the Native Americans.
Huh.
Well, no great mystery, no alien abduction.
I'll buy it.
You'll buy it?
I'll be the one who'll buy it hook, line, and sinker, sure.
Why not?
Yeah,
sure, go for it.
Yeah.
I have another article that just keeps refusing to show up for me. Very strange. It's talking about investigators bewildered by death of mutilation of an Oregon cow.
Hmm.
Huh. For some reason, it's not allowing me to access the article. Huh. Anyway, here we go. Coming to you, Tim, this story many people sent to me just for you.
Just for me, huh?
Just for you, Tim.
Just to wind me up, huh? Just to get me going. Just to get my blood pressure racing on a Saturday, huh?
Uh-huh. Coming to you from another dimension, the intriguing world of psychic and paranormal apps, Tim.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Paranormally connected artificial intelligence is here.
No.
It's coming. For your favorite medium's livelihood.
Mm.
It's one of the oldest arguments. It's divination in the form of fortune tellers, psychics, tarot cards, horoscopes, numerology, and other seemingly paranormal techniques. Are they just one big scam, or is there something to it? Now, for many people, belief in the paranormal derives from personal experience of face-to-face interviews with astrologers, palm readers, aura and tarot readers, and spiritual mediums. These encounters typically involve cold reading, a process in which a reader makes calculated guesses about a client's background and problems, and depending on the reaction, elaborates a reading which seems to the client so uniquely appropriate that it carries with it the illusion of having been produced by paranormal means. The cold reading process is shown to depend initially on the Barnum effect, the tendency for people to embrace generalized personality descriptions as idiosyncratically as their own, reads one's research paper published by the U.S. nation's Library of Medicine titled The Cold Reading Technique. The researchers elaborate future research should investigate the degree of which cold readers may have convinced themselves that they actually possess psychic or paranormal abilities. Well, in the U.S., a 2001 Gallup poll found that 54% of Americans believe in psychic or spiritual healing or the power of human mind to heal the body. A more recent 2018 study of American fears by Chapman University found that 58% believe that places can be haunted by spirits, 41% believe aliens have visited Earth, 17% believe that psychics can foresee the future. While Maverick Life hasn't found an equivalent study for South Africa, the majority of the country does subscribe to its belief that falls outside of the scientifically explicable. For example, according to a 2001 census, 80% of the South African population identifies as Christian, which assumes a belief in an omnipotent, omniscient deity that operates outside the laws of science. Now, according to this article, only 15% of the South African population does not subscribe to some sort of religious belief. When it comes to how widespread belief in the supernatural is in South Africa, perhaps it's also telling that one can buy Tokolo she salts to chase away evil spirits from retailers such as pharmacy, health, home, and beauty chains. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Even as scientific research has not found any evidence that psychic and paranormal phenomena exists, a large number of people believed in their existence and incorporate some kind of supernatural belief into their worldview. And while the aforementioned research paper states that belief in the paranormal derives from paranormal experiences, face-to-face interviews with astrologers, palm readers, aura and tarot readers, and spiritual mediums, that is changing as app developers increasingly offer divination apps that claim to connect users with the paranormal without the need for a face-to-face meeting. In a year such as 2020, defined by so much uncertainty, we tested out a few for an artificial intelligence-driven peek into the possible futures. There is Faladin Tarot and Horoscope. Now, if you haven't heard about this, we have an AI-based personalized horoscope and tarot app. And as you'd expect, AI is the key ingredient in making it extremely accurate and personalized. About 8 years ago, we started our app with real psychics, and as time went by, our hundreds of psychics couldn't manage to service our thousands of users. So we decided to give artificial intelligence a try. We matched the age, gender, and location data with our previous readings, and in the end, we managed to build a code that gives our users what fits them most, an extremely personalized reading, so claim the developers of Faladin. That's F-A-L-A-D-D-I-N, a horoscope and tarot app with an estimated 10 million downloads, Tim.
Wow.
Yeah, features. Once you've submitted your birthday, birth time, as well as city of birth, the app creates your birth chart and offers an astrology reading with a few predictions about changes in your life over the next couple of months, as well as daily horoscopes. The app also offers a clairvoyant reading by asking users to place a finger on the phone screen in order for the app to connect with them. Doom, 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 doom.
Oh, no.
Doom, 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 doom. The cost? It's free with in-app purchases and premium option. The above finger-based readings take a few minutes in the free version of the app, and they require extra credits that can be bought for around $22.99 per credit or earned by watching ads on the app. Alternatively, users can subscribe for, I don't know, ruples or rupees or whatever this is, $519.99 a month in rupees. So you've got that. There's the Tibetan daily horoscope and lunar calendar, Narubu, that's also an AI-infused psychic predictor. The Wei Feng Shui Almanac app, which was out and originally founded in 1984. The app is now out and available. So there's the Pattern. According to the developers, the Pattern is the most accurate and in-depth personality app, helping you have a better understanding of yourself, enabling connections to be formed on a much deeper level, as featured in TechCrunch, The New Yorker, Refinery29, Vogue, Vice, Men's Health, and more. So how about that? AI is taking over all of that, including a numerology. There's numerology, Rediscover Your Life Purpose. There's that app that's available. And that one's got a 4.7 out of 5 stars. How about that? The one I mentioned before, The Pattern,
yeah,
has got a 4.3 on Google Play and a 4.4 on Apple's App Store out of 5 stars.
Nothing like, although I'll tell you, probably about, let's say it was probably about 12 or 13 years ago, I did a really good cold reading on a Hooters waitress.
Maybe we need to stop you in your tracks right there before we end up.
No. It was so good that she went and got her other friend who was a waitress, and I cold read her, and it was really good. And then I had to stop both of them and tell them I wasn't a psychic. It was really good.
Maybe they didn't care. They were just looking for a little threesome action, and you blew your shot.
I might have when I admitted I wasn't psychic. But it's not hard. It's not hard to cold read a.
That's what they said. Waitress. All right, let's get to our next email, should we? And it's a bunk bed story, Tim.
Oh, good.
Hi, Dave and Tim. Hi. In the 1970s, I was 4 years old, and my sister and I shared a bedroom, and we had bunk beds. I had a bad habit of tossing and turning and falling out of bed during the night, so I had to sleep on the bottom bunk. One night, my parents tucked us into bed and closed our bedroom door, leaving it ajar. Just a little bit of light from the living room shone in. I fell asleep on my stomach, and my feet were hanging off the end of the bed between the wooden slats of the footboard. At some point during the night, something woke me up. I felt my feet being tickled. I turned and looked at the end of my bed to see a man with an elongated face and a creepy smile, hunched over, looking at me, quietly laughing as he tickled my feet with his long, gnarly fingernails. I jerked my feet up onto the bed, curled up, started bawling and screaming bloody murder. My dad came into the room and told me to quit crying and just go back to sleep. Damn kids and your hillbilly music. The hilarious part of this, the only thing that I could relate the man to was Count Chocula. I've hated that freaking cereal ever since. It's been 40 years since that experience, but to this day, I cannot sleep with my feet uncovered. Love you guys, and that comes from Hallie.
I love me some Count Chocula. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you very much, Hallie. I've often wondered, why don't they do a cool Monster Mash cereal? You know, you've got Frankenberry, mm-hmm. which is a strawberry cereal. You've got Count Chocula. You've got Boo Berry.
Right.
You also have, depending on the year, Yummy Mummy.
Wasn't there a Fruit Brute, too?
Yeah, Fruit Brute became Yummy Mummy.
Okay. All right.
So what if you took and made a mishmash where you put all the cereals in one box? So when you poured it out, there's a little Yummy Mummy, Fruit Brute. There's a little Boo Berry, Count Chocula, and Frankenberry. And you just call it the Monster Mash cereal. Huh?
That would be...
Marketing genius!
That would be a tummy ache waiting to happen.
I'd do it. I love them all. Love them all. Huh. It's weird that they only release them around Halloween. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they do it on purpose now. Yeah.
Hi, Dave and Tim. I'm an avid listener, and I love learning from your various stories and interviews. Big love from Idaho. Who to ho, Tim?
Idaho.
I have so many stories I need to write the book. I'm sure I will eventually, but for now I'm passing them on to you one at a time. In a recent broadcast, Punk Rock and Paranormal, you asked the person you were interviewing if they had met anyone whose paranormal experience had changed their worldview. And I think this story is the answer to your question. At least it lends itself to it. I was raised in an intellectual versus religious household, one or the other. I adopted the atheistic, agnostic perspective early on. When I was 15, I was walking away from the band concert I was supposed to be in with two of my friends just after dark toward the local hotspot, Tasty Freeze. Suck it on, chili dog, outside the Tasty Freeze. Ah! Throwing that little bit of musical Tourette's in there. When everything went sideways, I was walking and talking with my friends, and then I wasn't. Suddenly, I was sitting in the middle of the road, looking at myself standing on the side of the road. I screamed at my sitting self, "Grab your head and throw it between your knees now, or you'll die." I said it like a drill sergeant, but with such command that I reflexively responded in kind and did just that. It wasn't a request. I didn't have time to consider it. I didn't have time to consider anything at all. That's when I saw the truck moving under me as I flew through the air. I saw my hip bang off the side and my foot bounce off the rear tire, which propelled me into the air, and then I heard the bang. I let go of my head, looked up, and saw my friend jump from the noise and say, "What the frick was that?" And I realized I was no longer next to him. I looked down the road and saw brake lights. And I simply replied, "I think I just got hit by a car. No, maybe a truck." And then I stood up and I felt it. I already knew I was different. We'll get into that later. But this solidified my faith in everything. This experience ruined the world's ability to scare me. I knew at that moment that I won't go until it's time to go and that I am more powerful than I'll ever know. But it's not a power that can be tapped into on a whim. It's a power only faith in more can bring. So yes, an experience like this can change everything. P.S. I found out many years later that my older brother has had 3 out-of-body experiences and wrote an essay in school about his belief that he is proof of the multiverse theory. But that's his story to tell. Love you guys. Phenomena. And that comes from Priscilla. Thank you, Priscilla. What a cool story.
Yeah.
Cool and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Just putting it out there. Let's see here real quick. I'm trying to dig up another story. Hi, my amazing friends from Beyond the Darkness. Thank you so much for reading my story and sharing your opinions on your show about my dream. However, I did miss out on a few things. The dream itself was a one-time experience, but I did experience other things like whispering at night and knocking on my bedroom door. And when I was alone in the house, I would experience the lights going off. Not like a flickering, but the actual lights switch off. My mom also said that when I was 2, I used to look at the stairs like someone was there, and I used to point and say, "Look, Mommy." My stepfather also had an experience where he saw a woman by the bathroom door watching as he took a bath. Sexy time. God. He saw her for a few seconds before she disappeared from the doorframe. He thought it was my mom, but no one was in the house. I only found out about that when I was an adult. A few other things happened there that I don't remember too clearly. I do have other ghostly encounters in another house, but that will be
no
other time.
No.
And that's Reese, sent from London, England. Thank you, Reese, for teasing us one more time. Tease us, baby, one more time. Boom. No?
Another time.
That's all I got to say, man. Mm-hmm. Stuff is weird. It's a weird, weird world we're in, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Well, that's it for this week, kids. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we've enjoyed presenting it to you. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tim, we're going to be joined by a couple of famous YouTubers. How about that? Brennan and Jake Taylor are going to join us. They have a new podcast that's going to be coming on Podcast One relatively soon. And they're going to talk to us about some of their most frightening and chilling moments, some of the strange encounters, and some of the most unbelievable locations that they've visited. And we will be talking with them tomorrow here on the program. Tune in, because they've got a lot of really interesting stories and creepy aspects to tell. Plus, they use Ouija boards, and they're not afraid to discuss it. We'll discuss that and more tomorrow on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. Remember, go set your DVR so that you never miss an upcoming episode of Paranormal Night Shift, starring your buddy Timmy D from Darkness Radio. It began the 21st, not the 12th, as we'd reported the week before, Tim.
Right.
Things had changed. It was officially released on Friday the 21st, and you'll be able to continue watching and seeing that series. Tim's in about 8 of the episodes that are coming up, so make sure you go check it out and watch those. We'll be back again with you tomorrow right here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. That's Tim. I'm Dave, and this is Darkness Radio.